It's time to take a spin around Wisconsin and find stories you might have missed. Here's Spinning the State on Spanning the State with Kristen Bry and Brian Noonan.
All right, time to wrap up another week of stories that you might have missed. And you'll want to stay till the end of this segment. Just trust me on this one.
Let's let loose on a Friday.
Yes. 1 second. There we go. All right. Sorry. This Maya was me. We were so busy talking. All right.
Get that
time
wheel
to,
out.
Time to spin the wheel.
Wausau.
All right. Well, in Wausau, well, Medicaid funding is top of mind for many Americans, not just in Wausau, because of recent actions in the administration and in Congress. In Wausau specifically, Mayor Doug Diney vetoed a city council resolution asking state and federal representatives to protect Medicaid funding, stating in a memo that the council was, quote, abusing its position to
promulgate.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Democrat Party messaging and scare people. The council unanimously approved the resolution at its February 25th meeting. The resolution was titled Expressing Opposition to Any Proposed Federal or State Cuts to Medicaid. The Journal Sentinel quoted Lisa Rasmussen, council president and District 7th alderperson. Quote, we know that people's ability or inability to get the care they need affects us and affects our taxpayers in other ways when those services are not available. That usually comes to roost at the local or county level when those failures exist. Diney listed two reasons for the veto in a statement. First, the city was, quote, has enough work for council members and the council would do best to stay in its lane.
Wow.
And second, the city voters elect council members not for city for city issues and state and federal elected officials for state and federal issues, and that the council does not have a right to speak to state and federal topics.
Wow. I love the stay in your lane argument from people. Like, the citizenry has no right to speak of anything unless it's their exact job. And yet, it was a bipartisan, unanimous vote in the council.
Well, and I don't think it really changes anything. It's just expressing opposition, right?
Yes.
And saying, like, please don't do
this
is going to affect a lot of people. So, yeah.
Okay, well, unbelievable. Well, let's spin it again.
Kenosha.
All right. For millions of kids, and it could be boys and girls, I'm guessing mostly boys, our first exposure to the armed forces was through a 12-inch plastic warrior named Joe. Introduced in 1964 by Hasbro, G.I. Joe became iconic and led to the term action figure. Well, now G.I. Joe is getting his well-deserved attention in a new exhibit at Kenosha's Civil War Museum. The exhibit is part of the collection of Gene Salicker, an author and historian who's been collecting the action figures since his childhood and now has more than 150 original G.I. Joe items manufactured between 1964 and 1968. The Kenosha News quoted Doug Damman, the Kenosha Public Museum's education coordinator. He said, it's been a fun departure for us. There are two factors in this exhibit. Nostalgia for folks who remember playing with these toys, and a look at how G.I. Joe really revolutionized toy technology. Now, toy soldiers had already been around for several decades when G.I. Joe burst onto the scene, but they were nothing like Joe. He had movable arms and legs. In fact, G.I. Joe had 21 moving parts, allowing him to bend at the knees and elbows. Even his wrists could move, and please, let's not forget the introduction of the Kung Fu grip. Seriously, that was unbelievable. And real-life facial hair. Joe has had many iterations over the decades, but he's always ready for action. The exhibit runs through March 9th, and the best part, admission is free.
Oh, that's cool.
That is great. Yeah, I remember G.I.
Did you
Joe's.
Have one?
Oh, I had a bunch of different G.I. Joes. Different, you know, different branches of the government, different... Because once the Vietnam War was going on, they kind of changed G.I. Joe to make him an adventurer.
Okay.
Got deep sea diver G.I. Joe and that kind of stuff because people were not happy with the war. So they just kind of pivoted and then they came back. And yeah, I had the Jeep. I don't know if I ever got a Kung Fu grip. But.
I do love that the thing with G.I. Joes is like, boys don't play with dolls. Play with action figures.
Yes. And G.I. Joe was the first toy.
G.I. Joe is a doll.
Well, but he's a doll for action. He's not. We're not coddling him and feeding him and changing his diaper. G.I. Joe is all about action.
Okay, but Barbie's a doll, even though you're not changing her diaper.
You change her clothes, don't you?
You can change your clothes.
Of course you do. I stepped on a... you could change. I stepped on about 8,000 Barbie shoes in my lifetime. So don't tell me, oh, no, Barbie's
okay. You can't change G.I. Joe's outfit?
You just get a different G.I. Joe. Because I can't put a soldier G.I. Joe in a Navy outfit. That would...
Blasphemy.
Yeah, imagine. Imagine if I took a soldier from the regular Army and made him put on a sailor suit. Go nuts. Can't do it. All right. Listen, now that we've got that all straightened out, let's spin it one more time. This one is especially for Kristen.
Dane.
So Dane County, more specifically, Springfield Corners. You know, weekends are a time to go nuts. And tomorrow, folks, in Dane County, people will be able taking that very literally. The annual Testicle Festival returns to Yeehaw! The Springfield Corners Dance Hall. The event starts at 2 p.m. and our pal, the fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke, and her team will be out there with games and prizes. You don't need a spoonful of sugar to help the testicle go down, but there will be music by Lights Out Band to help your digestion. The band hits the stage at 5:30 p.m. For the unfamiliar a testicle festival is pretty much what the name implies. It's an event where the featured activity is the consumption of animal testicles, usually battered and fried. The oldest testicle festival takes the featured activity in is takes place in Byron, Illinois. Testicles has a flavor that is often described as mild, creamy, and slightly metallic. The taste is often likened to other organ meats such as kidney or liver, but with its own unique twist. If you go, have a ball.
Good ball. I wonder what kind of games
I've Pam never will had be playing. One.
I have never had one either.
Pin the testicles on the bowl?
Maybe, like cornhole, but you're not throwing a beanbag.
Oh, God.
Thwap. That's not going to make a fun sound. Well, listen, if you missed any of the details on any of today's stories, you can text SPIN to the Siding Unlimited WTNJ talk and text line. Thank God the boss is out of town. It's 855-616-1620. That's SPIN. And you can also, so you never miss any pearls of wisdom like today, you can just subscribe to our podcast wherever it is that you get your podcast. Well, it is Friday, and now that we've had something to eat, we might as well talk about a beverage, too. We've got a couple local beer stories coming up on the other side. It is Spanning the State.
There's a cold beer calling my name. Feel a good time coming. Got a new song humming and the sun sets.
Welcome back to Spanning the State. I am Kristen Bry.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Yes, cold beer always calling our names. Especially on a Friday. So a couple of stories, and this one actually started back in November when Molson Coors announced that it was closing Leinenkrugel's brewing facility in Chippewa Falls that had been going for over 150 years. They moved production to Milwaukee State Street Brewery. Now, the Chippewa Falls Brewery, the original Liney Lodge and stuff, was still there. It was going to be used for other things. Well, then the Leinenkrugel family members tried buying back that Chippewa Falls Brewery, and Molson Coors in January said no.
And
not for sale.
Yeah, and it was kind of like, well, what are they doing? Like, why not try to sell it off? And I know that there was kind of talk as far as, like, is there another merger happening? Like, is there something bigger at the corporate level as far as what this is trying to shed different assets and keep on other ones?
Right.
But then it sounds like there was some news as far as why
yes,
they held on to it.
Molson Coors has a couple of reasons that seem reasonable. So the Chippewa Falls operation, they're still doing some brewing up there. They're offering tours, so you can still go to the original place and look around. You can sit down and have a beer.
Lots of merch.
Lots
of merch up there.
Of course there is. But they're using it as a pilot brewery. So they're using it for small batches to test out new products. One of those products that is coming out of there in just the next couple weeks is Liney Lodge Lime, which is a Mexican-style lager.
I feel like we've done a spinning story
on
that.
We mentioned that it was coming out. And this is why. So this is why Molson Coors decided we're going to keep this facility because they're brewing so much down here.
Yeah.
That it's like, okay, we could do little bits. It's almost like the setup they have at American Family Field, where small batches are being brewed, test things, and then if it's something that really hits, then they'll bring it down to the main facility and brew more of it. So that's why. Because it's easy to say, oh,
so they still need it.
They still need it. Now, the Lion and Kugels are still putting in the pitch. They're still hoping that something will change, but, you know, you're up against Molson Coors. And here's the thing. Miller Brewing had acquired Lion and Kugels 30 years before the Molson Coors takeover. So yeah. Miller and now Molson Coors has had the Lion and Kugel brand for
Miller
a long time.
Why couldn't it be called Miller Coors?
Miller Coors?
It's like a testament to the original name, the original company.
Yeah, but you got the money, you get the name.
I guess.
I don't know if I've ever heard you so disappointed.
Probably when especially with this brand specifically, is when Fiserv announced that they were going to move to Anheuser-Busch instead of Miller
that
products.
Hurts.
And that was, everyone was so angry about that. I'm still angry about it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I understand that.
It's also like Anheuser-Busch was willing to spend the money to be the sponsoring, you know, beer supplier, and Miller was not. But it was still just like, really?
Especially when it's
and
being
they haven't
brewed.
Won a championship since.
Just saying. Coincidence? I think not. That's right. When the hometown beer is brewed blocks from the arena, it really should be, you know, push how fresh the beer is. It came from, you can point to it. It came from right over there.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of way down there. Because St. Louis, I'll throw a little shade. I'm not a fan of St. Louis.
Oh.
I went to school down in that area. My first radio job was in that area. There's some okay parts. But St. Louis is laid out weird, and it's right on, like, hell's doormat. It gets so hot and humid there in the summer. It's ridiculous.
All right. I've never been. No opinion.
Listen, go down. You'll get an opinion. It's also built in an odd way. It's built in arches. You know, a lot of cities are on grid systems. It's built on, an arch system.
So is it like D.C.?
I don't know how D.C.
is. D.C. is kind of like a spider web.
Kinda, except it's like a rainbow. So it starts right downtown where the actual arch is, and then it's just a series of...
And they're rounded streets?
No, but it's just the way the neighborhoods are laid out. It's just, right. I don't know. There's a lot going on.
You just explaining it poorly?
No, I'm explaining it perfectly. Listen, because really, how many people here are going to go, oh, I see exactly what he means. Trust me, you don't want to go there. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we have another story. This one, again... Good and kind of bad for Milwaukee and beer. We'll get to that after this on Spanning the State.
Welcome back to Spanning the State. I'm Kristen Bry.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Every year, USA Today has a Reader's Choice Awards. One of the categories is a beer category. They rate two things. They say best beer cities in the country and then best brew pubs in the country. Good news is Milwaukee was represented on both lists. The unfortunate news, though, is they slipped. Milwaukee slipped, and so did the brew pub in their rankings. Yes, it's a sacrilege.
Brew City, that's our name. That's our nickname.
Sure. Okay, I get you. That is true. Last year, both our city and our brewery and the local brewery were in second place. This year, Milwaukee has dropped to eighth place.
What?
Yes. Eighth, and then Lakefront dropped from second to 10th. Lakefront Brewery was voted the second best. The USA Today said about Milwaukee, beer giant Miller Brewing put the city on the beer map. A host of modern craft breweries and beer bars have maintained the city's legacy as an epic beer destination. Beer history is on display at places like the historic Pabst Brewery and Miller the Brewery. Those looking to try something new can do so at some of the city's many beer gardens, pubs, beer bars, and other craft breweries.
I'm looking at some of these other... So number one...
Yeah.
Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Boo.
You were just talking about this. St. Louis, Missouri is number two.
That's because Anheuser-Busch is there and big beer is always trying to
Number
manipulate.
Three, San Diego, California. See, I don't think of... Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
I will say, now, just having been to Pittsburgh and going back next month, they do have a lot of breweries. And they do host a huge festival in the spring for black breweries from around the black-owned breweries from around the country. So they've got a big presence, and the stuff I drank was pretty good.
All right, what about Columbus, Ohio?
You know, college town. I haven't been to Columbus in a while.
Number six, how does Portland? I feel like Portland's weed. Like, I just think of Portland and I think of people like smoking weed. I don't think of it as a beer town.
Well, that's the Northwest was where the whole IPA movement started. So, you know.
Asheville, North Carolina. I'll give it to Asheville just because they're trying to bounce back. So yeah, I feel like they have a moratorium on like how long until we can criticize that.
Can we bash them?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then us, and then after us is Charlotte, North Carolina, and Denver, Colorado. See, I would have thought Denver was higher.
I would have too. I've been to a number of breweries out there in Denver and the surrounding areas. It's pretty good. So that was why we fell. And then USA Today said about Lakefront, Milwaukee is known as a beer city, and it's where you'll find Lakefront Brewery. Its restaurant, Beer Hall, cooks up favorite Milwaukee fare, brats, fried pickles, and cheese curds to go along with its tap list of some two dozen beers. But it went from second to 10th. And
that, I feel like there's more subjectivity that goes into it, because there's a lot of really good spots. Like the fact that because Lakefront is great.
Yeah, it is.
But
great.
I'd imagine there's a lot of really good places. I mean, that's stiffer competition than
right.
City
and there's
competition.
And, you know, are they going just by places that have food? Because there's a lot of great tap rooms that don't have food. That you just go and you sit and you enjoy yourself. Do you have a favorite in town?
I like Lakefront. I like Black Husky.
Okay.
Black Husky. That's also yours. Not as much for the beer. It's proximity. It's also the fact that they allow dogs there.
And dogs and children.
Dogs and children. Well, let's be honest. Most places in Wisconsin allow children.
That's
the amount
true.
Of bars.
Oh, yeah,
I posted that. Because actually, recently at Black Husky, we did a pull tab and we won $250. And it was the most I've ever gotten on a pull tab.
Wow.
Ever. And so it was like a Sunday afternoon. And so I had a picture of Frankie and I, and someone was like, oh, how quintessential Wisconsin, a baby in a bar. And I was like, you know, this kid's been in a lot of bars. The Shamrock Shuffle is this weekend, which is Mike's big event. We are going to go for the first hour. She's got her own 2T size t-shirt that matches everyone else's t-shirt for the year. So she is steeped in the culture. Absolutely.
Molly was in a lot of bars and things when she was still in her car seat.
Yeah.
We just carry the car seat in, drop it on the
table. But Black Husky also like has juice boxes there. Like they're very kid friendly.
Yes. Well, you got to like that. All right, on the other side, this is appealing to Nate. We try sometimes to think of things for the youngsters. We're going to talk video games after this. But ABC News and local headlines are next.
Coming back. Welcome back to Spanning the State. I'm Kristen Bry.
I'm Brian Noonan. Nate, what game is this from? Because Nate picked
Super
the
Mario
music.
Brothers.
Is this Super Mario,
is this
Mario Brothers?
Is it original Mario Brothers? Or is it both? Was it the same music for both original and Super?
I believe so, yeah.
I think so too, yeah.
All right.
That was the end of my gaming career was Super Nintendo.
Really?
Yes. I liked Donkey Kong. I liked Super Mario Brothers. There was a Lion King game that I was really into. This was circa like 9 or 10, I would sit when my brother was not home because it was the console was in his room.
Okay.
So when he was not home, I'd play in his room.
So these were games with the cartridges kind of deal.
Yeah, and you had to blow on it and everything like that. and then he got an N64, and I was really bad at all the N64 games, like really, really bad. And I was also good at kind of good at Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat.
Really?
And so then once he upgraded to the N64, I was done.
He didn't just give you the old system and let you take it into your room?
But I actually, if we got one of because they sell those now. They sell them with, like, preloaded with all the Super Nintendo games. I would get that for Mike and I and have us play at home together. That'd be kind of fun.
Well, the reason we're bringing this up is it's very exciting. First of all, we're going to be playing video game trivia in the game. So if you want to start calling now, if you are caller 3 and caller 4 at the Siding Unlimited talk and text line, 855-616-1620, Nate will put you on hold and you can play the video game trivia in the arcade. But I saw this story and I was like, oh, good, this will be a nice segue. The World Video Game Hall of Fame has announced its potential inductees for this year's Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Now, see, unlike you,
You never were into gaming.
Well, I was. We had the original Atari, the yellow pad looking Atari.
I don't even know.
It had the joysticks right on it.
Okay.
And then we moved up to another Atari that just had Pong, basically.
Yeah.
The yellow one. Then we moved up to the Atari that had the cartridges and the small square joysticks.
Okay.
So I was really good at Night Driver, which is basically just you're driving at night. There's headlights on a curvy road, and you can't crash. So I was really good at that. But no, I never. And then Molly, like we tried, we thought maybe Molly would. So when she was younger, we got her a Nintendo Cube, that system that didn't last very long. She didn't care about video games. And so, no, it's just never. But Nate has said he is a gamer.
Okay.
Which, and I have friends who are gamers, but not really. But you will. I actually recognized a couple of these games. Here are the finalists. Age of Empires, no idea.
No idea.
Angry Birds.
Know that one. I never played it, but it was like early iPhone game, right?
Yes, I knew it from my phone. Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare. Now, I know what Call of Duty is because we got a Wii at one point because Debbie wanted to bowl. So we got a Wii. And for something, maybe it was Christmas, something, Debbie and Molly gave me Call of Duty.
Wii?
Yeah.
There was a Wii Call of Duty?
You could play it. Yes, there was a Wii Call of Duty.
I did not know. And can you still get Wiis?
I don't know. You can have ours.
There's
right
boxing
under the TV.
There was like a good workout situation
in
there.
When Molly comes home, they play tennis. And okay. They bowl. And they, and it came with the little fake gun so I could pretend I put it in the console, and it came on, and I had absolutely no idea, because it doesn't come with directions, which I realize if you're a gamer, you don't need directions, but I was an old man at this point, and I'm like, I know I'm supposed to kill people, but how? So that was awful. And I asked, the kid next door was Molly's age, and I was like, hey, I just got could you help me? And he just laughed, and so I didn't follow up on my invitation to get any help. Defender. Frogger, I know. So did George Costanza. He was very good at Frogger. GoldenEye.
I know that's.
I know the movie.
Bond. Well, yeah. Yeah, it was still like a POV shooting
was it?
Game. Yeah.
Okay. Golden Tee. I played a lot in my bar.
I have
bar
no
days.
Idea what that is.
That's a golf game. It's
I
a golf game with and you're using.
Oh, it's
a,
an arcade
a ball.
Game.
It's an arcade game.
I know what
game.
You're talking about. That.
Yeah. Harvest Moon. Nate, do you know any of these? No.
I do know Age of Empires, actually, that you said earlier. And funny enough, I was playing that like the other day.
Nice.
Really? All right.
Nice.
Mattel Football I had, because that was like the first handheld thing where it was just a little green dots.
Okay.
That would NBA 2K, I'm familiar with, and Tamagotchi. You seem like somebody who would have had a Tamagotchi.
And you would be right.
Really? How did it do? How did
I
you
think
do
the longest I ever kept it alive was like 6 days.
Wow, that's not...
It's not very long.
That didn't bode well for Frankie. You've made it past 6 days with her.
Well,
goodness.
I'm not a sixth grader anymore, so...
So I guess they get thousands of nominations every year. Then there's an international committee of experts that vote on this, and the public gets to vote, but all the public's votes are combined into one vote.
Okay.
So the top, if all the public votes for Tamagotchi.
It's not a democracy.
No, it counts as one. But then you found, because it is Women's History Month, you found some interesting women's history for video games.
Yeah. So Princess Peach is the most influential female video game character of all time.
Really?
From Sue, again, Mario Brothers.
I had to look that up to see what game
that
she was
that
from.
Name, that name doesn't ring a bell for
nope.
you? If you saw a picture of her, you know.
Well, yeah, once
you just
I,
know her name was.
Once I know Mario, that she was part of Mario, I'm
you know
like,
she's
oh,
the
yeah,
princess
the
from
pink
Mario.
Princess. Yeah.
And so this was a study as far as like which female game characters were searched for the most. And so she had 290,000 plus monthly
wow.
searches. In second was Chun-Li with 210,000.
Nate, who's Chun-Li? Nate doesn't know. Do you know Chun-Li?
Mortal Kombat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Chun-Li. So she's the with the puffs and the blue. See, this is my
wow.
Yeah.
All
that
right.
was the character I always wanted to be.
Chun-Li?
When I played I would be Chun-Li when I played Mortal Kombat.
Okay.
Then Lara Croft.
I know who Lara Croft is.
Because that was
is.
Also
Tomb
a movie.
Raider. Yep.
I never played that game. So she was third. And then this one I do not know. Lily Pendragon from Suikoden. Any idea, Nate? She's the least influential. No wonder we don't know horrible. Who she is. Yeah.
What are your games, Nate?
I might get made fun of this, but I've been playing Fortnite lately with my brother and some of my friends. It's always fun.
I don't think you're alone in there. I think that's a very, very popular game.
You and all the middle schoolers,
it's
man.
It's a lot of fun.
Now I'm trying to search my brain. Someone came over to our house recently. It was much older.
Really?
And very into Fortnite. Who was that?
I don't know.
So, yeah, I don't think it's just middle schoolers.
I don't know. Middle schoolers love video games. That's because they would always ask me, do you play this? Do you play that? No. No, I have a mortgage. If you want to play video game trivia, which is coming up next, you can call. Be nice to Nate. He's sitting in for Rhea today, and he's obviously got his mind on his money and his money on his video games. The Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. We will play the game after this on Spanning the State.
Let's play a game.
How fun!
I'm ready!
Pick me, pick me, pick me.
Put on your thinking caps. It's time for the Ha Ha Friday Funtime Grandiloquent Game Show. Put your hands together and welcome your quizmasters, Kristen Bry and Brian Noonan.
Let's play.
It's Friday. We like to wrap up the week with a game today. It is video game trivia in honor of the finalists for the 2025 World Video Game Hall of Fame. Let's meet our players, Kristen. First, it's Tom in West Bend. Hi, Tom.
It's me again. It's the fastener engineer.
Fastener engineer. All right, Tom, are you also a video gamer?
In the past, yes.
Okay, well, you might be all right. Let's see who you're playing against. It's, John in Bayview. Hi, John. I don't know why I sounded like I knew who you are, but I'm very excited you're here. What do you do, John?
I'm a low-voltage electrician.
A low-voltage electrician. What sets that apart from the more danger-loving high-voltage electricians?
I do all the camera systems, low-voltage data, fiber optics.
Very nice.
Interesting.
In your free time, are you playing video games?
Back in the day, yeah.
Okay, back in the day. It sounds like that's what Nate, back in the day. Not a lot of current stuff. But that's all right. Gentlemen, here's how the game is going to work. Either Kristen or I will ask you a question. If you get that question right, you get a point. First one to five correct answers, or whoever is leading when our time runs out will be the winner. Tom, John, do you understand the rules? Are you ready to play the game?
Yep, yes, sir.
All right, let's do it, Kristen.
All right, Tom, we will start with you. Name the first handheld portable video game system that Nintendo released in the 1980s. Was it a Switch, a Game Boy, DS, or Electronic Football?
5 seconds.
I'll go with Electronic Football.
Oh, it was indeed Game Boy.
Yes. Oh, did the battery run out on your...
No, I didn't.
Oh, there we go. I didn't hear it. That's okay. No, it was Game Boy. Yes, Electronic Football was Mattel. That is...
Mattel, right.
From Mattel. All right, John, your chance to get on the board. True or false? Disney's animated film Prince of Persia movie is based on a video game of the same name.
True.
That is right. It is true. Very good. John is on the
Prince
board.
Of Persia.
You've never seen Prince? Jake Gyllenhaal was the Prince of Persia in the movie.
Oh, it's an animated movie.
I think there was more than one.
Well, all right. Anyways, Tom, we're going back to you. What is the name of the blue hedgehog mascot of Sega Entertainment's popular game series? Is it Tails, Sonic.
Knuckle?
Yep, got it. That one didn't even need to be multiple choice.
Hey, Tom was ready. He's like, I was hoping there would be a Sonic question in this game. All right, back to John. John, the Nintendo Entertainment System was released in the 1980s with a light gun peripheral, and a classic video game that involved shooting the gun at the TV screen. What was the name of that game? Was it The Legend of Zelda?
Duck Hunt.
Wow!
Wow!
John has spent a lot of time in taverns up north playing Duck Hunt, just as I have. I understand our love for that game.
All right, Tom, what popular block-based video game has become a pop culture phenomenon featuring survival and creative modes? Roblox, Red Dead Redemption, Minecraft, Overwatch.
Roblox.
Ooh, Minecraft.
Oh, that's all right. John, you could take a very large lead here and go up 3-1 if you can tell me true or false. Nintendo's mascot Mario first appeared in the arcade game Donkey Kong in 1981.
True.
There we go.
Inch, okay.
3-1
So Mario came after Donkey Kong?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Mario Brothers came after Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong.
Got it. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Tom, which video game system is the worldwide leader in number of units sold? Sony PlayStation 3, Nintendo Wii, or Xbox 360, or PlayStation 2?
PlayStation 3.
Oh, it's PlayStation 2. You were so close.
PlayStation 2 has sold over 160 million units. It is the OG. Wow. All right. We've got time for one more. Let's go, John, in Bayview. Which of the following is the name of the classic arcade game set in space? Is it Planet Destroyer, Supernova, Asteroids, or Meteor Shower?
Asteroids.
Wow.
Wow. John, you have won with 4. Tom, you had 1. 1 is good. If you were looking to come in second place, you achieved that. Congratulations. We're happy for you. John, you are going to win a WTMJ prize pack filled with stuff that they find in the prize closet. I don't know what exactly it is, but I'm sure it's fantastic. They're going to send that out to you. If you hang on, John, Nate will get all your information, and you will go. Tom, thank you so much for playing. Hope you guys had a good time. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Let's do this. We'll come back. We'll start wrapping it up. It's Spanning the State. Oh, my goodness. Congratulations again to John for winning video game trivia. Nate, would you have won that game?
Maybe.
All right.
Maybe.
That's very noncommittal. I appreciate that. No flex from Nate. He's not going to put himself out there. It's the end of the week. Now, Kristen, you have been posting a joke a day, a dad joke a day on your social media channels. Fridays are
Friday, this is the second week in a row that I've decided that Fridays, I'm going to get a little saucier and do some dirty jokes.
Nice.
So I can't tell today's joke on air.
Where can people get it?
If you go to my Instagram, at Kristen Bry, KristinBrey, you can see it in my Instagram story. I'm a big fan. But yes, I think even with the bosses away right now, I'm not going to tell that one on air.
Yeah.
But I do have a different one
that's
much cleaner. All right, what do you call a playlist that has Eminem, the Cranberries, and the Peanuts?
Eminem, the Cranberries, and Peanuts. Oh, a trail mix.
The trail mix.
There you go. Very nice.
The other one I had this week was, what do you call a cow that lifts weights?
Anybody? Everybody? Nobody. Nobody in the booth knows? I don't know.
Shredded beef.
All right. Now, if you had said an ox that lifts weights, then I would have said, of course, he was yoked.
There
we go. That's why I got paid the big money to do rewrites. That's not true at all. Very good. All right. Well, listen, it's time for us to get out of here because Wisconsin's afternoon news is next. Have a great weekend.
You too. See ya.